In our discussion for tonight, and we'll see how far we get. We are still in the Sugya of Sigreisha, the last section of Sigreisha, as we travel through the world of Melechas Machsheves. You're still in the first section, Davashin Miskaven and Sigreisha. If you remember, there were six parts of Sigreisha that we were discussing. There was Suffix Sigreisha, which we discussed. Karavuv, that was the last point that we discussed. It was also called Sigreisha L'Sha'avar. Suffix Sigreisha, that was a discussion of the Taz and Rebbe Kiva Eger. And the last point we made was from the Malami Lahoa, who said maybe you could be Mechalek between Shabbos and outside of Shabbos. That was source number 39. That was the last source we did. We spoke about Sigreisha de lo Nichale, we spoke of Sigreisha de Akum, Sigreisha de Grama, all the permutations where we find Sigreisha. We're up to the last section, and that is Sigreisha be'isser de Rabbanan. Is there any difference by a Sigreisha if I am violating, if the Sigreisha, the Malacha that might be violated, and Malacha B is an isser de Rabbanan? Everything we've been speaking about is the Raisa. I'm going to drag the bench, which for sure is going to make a ditch. I am going to open the fridge, which for sure is going to turn on the light. Turning on an incandescent light, most refrigerators have incandescent lights, not fluorescent lights. That's the malacha of Eish. So it's Daraisas. What about Darabanans? Does it make a difference? Should it make a difference? We don't do Isurei Darabanans on Shabbos. And if Sigreisha means, as we said, Ki'ilu is Kaveh, remember from 2 weeks ago, the Sfaras of Rabbi Chanan, why you're Chayiv, Sigreisha is an Issa Daraisa. So why should it make a difference? So let's see what the post can say, and then maybe we'll suggest the Svara, but we'll see what we hold also, Halach HaLamaisa. So it starts with a Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen in source 42, on the bottom of the page. Simis Lamakdala. Trumas Hadeshen, there is a discussion among scholars whether the Chuvas of the Trumas Hadeshen, or Yisrael Lissolin, who's quoted every three pages in the Shulchan Aruch, whether he asked, it's Shilos the Chuvas, that's how it's structured. But was he really asked the Shilos, or he wrote the questions himself and wrote the answers? Doesn't really make a difference for us. That's a question in the scholars. Were they real Shilos? Either way, we have a Shilos. Source 42. Sheila. Sakina tachu b'chosel shalais. Mi bon yom. Somebody has a knife stuck into a wooden wall from Erev Shabbos. In those days, they didn't have drawers. And you have a table and you have a kitchen. Where are you going to put the knife so the kids don't get hurt? So you stick it in the wall. What else are you going to do with it? You stick it in the table. Stick it somewhere. The kid can't pull it out. You don't want to leave a knife lying around. That's what you put it 500 years ago. So the question is, you're stuck in the knife on Erev Shabbos, and then all of a sudden you sit down for a motzi on Friday night, and usually you have a Shabbos checklist. On the Shabbos checklist is take the knife out of the wall. Right? So you forgot to this time. So you're waiting for a motzi, and said the Baal Bayis goes, no, salt. Sometimes the salt's not on the table. Forget the salt. Knife! Right, you got a knife, and then all day, your son got it's still stuck in the wall, Abba, can I take it out? Oh, talk of a sakso, or what if it's in the bench, or bedach shein mechubarim, shari lahosi yasak and shabbos olo. Can you take out the knife? So what's the shiloh? Why would it be a problem? Knives are not muksa. You're using it to cut the challah. So why would it be a problem? So continues the trumas adashen. Yireh on top. Where it's stuck into the wall, I think you have to be choshesh leister to take it out. Why? What's the problem? It says in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Beis, hakodeach kol shehu chayv. If somebody drills a tiny hole in a wall on Shabbos, that's an iser daraisa. You drill a tiny, you don't have to use an electric drill. You take a pen, you take a knife, you take a screwdriver, and you put it into a wall, boom, that's an Issa Daraisa. Which is the Daraisa? Umafarish Hasan Talmud, the Gemara says that's the Malacha of Bonen, building. Malacha of building. You could build a house, but you can also build a hole. Putting a hole in a wall is part of the building process. Because you build a hole, then you can put a nail in there to hang something. So that's the Issa Daraisa Bonen. The Chayiv Kodem Shen Nismali Anekev. And even before you fill the hole, it's already an Issa Daraisa by just drilling the hole. The Yim Kain, middle of the third line, Behotzah Sasakin, by taking out the knife. Hecha de Takuach Sas Bechosek, where it's stuck in there tightly, Kimat Sikreshahu, Shelo Yosef Benekev, Vahavad Kodeach Kol Shehu. If I take out the knife, It's impossible if it's stuck in tightly. When I take it out, it's going to make the hole a tiny, tiny drop bigger. It's just, it has to happen. If the knife is stuck in, when you pull it out, it's going to make the hole a little bigger. It's all surrounded by wood. So if you pull that, it's going to make it a little bigger. That's the malach habonah. So said the Shumas Adeshin, l'chora, if you have the knife stuck in there before Shabbos, you can't take it out. Aye, what do you do for Hamotzi? So you rip the challah. Aye, you're ripping the challah? So it's okay. You don't have a knife, you rip the challah. Right, maybe that's the marker for breakaways. Right? So we discussed last year, breakaways, 12. Why 12? Why, if you remember the grah from last year. But it's okay, so you do it without it. That's where the Shumas Adeshin starts. The MK, he says, it is... a problem. Then he says, and don't bring me a right me matir from the fact that there's a Mordechai that says some a similar case is mutter. Sheim line 5. Shemaya sakin sakua b'chavis mutter osilachni. So if you have the same knife in a barrel, you can take it out. Shareinu miskavim mahosif, because you don't have kavanah to be mahosif. Don't bring me a right from there. Why? Because that's not talking about a wall. That's talking about a barrel, which is a kli. It's a big sugya. Some of you might have come across it already. Ein binyan bekalim. Says the Truma Sadesher. Big topic. It has to do a lot with opening packages and cans and bottles on Shabbos. This is the sugya of binyan bekalim. Says the Truma Sadesher. Don't bring me right. The Mordechai was talking about a barrel. A barrel has different rules than a wall. Okay, different rules than a wall. So that's what he starts off. The first half of the tshuva is that it should be usser to take it out of the wall. And then he continues and says, skipping down a little bit, where it's underlined, Abel v'she'ein miskavein, he says, maybe if you don't have kavana, nucholam afilu ipsik reisha hushari. He says, maybe it's not sure. Maybe it should be mutter. It's going back and forth. Maybe it should be mutter, even to take it out. Why? To be iser derabanan, yesh l'chalek be miskavein gomer l'psik reisha. There's the line. By an issur d'rabbanan, maybe we can be machalik between having kavana for an issur d'rabbanan, which is asur, and having kavana to do something mutter. Taking a knife out of a wall is mutter. But it might cause bona to be done. Maybe that is only, maybe that's going to be mutter, because based on other factors, it's asur mi d'rabbanan. So in the barrel case, it's asur mi d'rabbanan, because ein binyan mekalim means ein binyan to orais to mekalim. That's why it's mutter by the barrel case. Because it's only nisid rabbanan. In the house case, it's nisid daraisa. But in the barrel case, it's nisid rabbanan. So therefore, I'm sorry, he's not changing. He's modifying what he said before, explaining it. And therefore, we'd be mutter. Kidisa, bichuvas maram, mordechai perak azore. Fine. But then he says, amna nir at the end, tai sakra tukua bachavis, arisha siyu vetlisu far bachol. Maybe the barrel case is where it's a little looser, and that's why it's mutter. But he at least brings up the issue. He suggests that it could be that sikresha only applies by is, meaning applies, meaning it's only... Only obligated is only a chayiv when Hashanah Aleph Rebbe. Baruch Hashem. He's peeking in. I don't know if he wants to. Okay. So the it could be that segresha is only aser mi daraisa when it comes to aser when it comes to isuri daraisa, not by isuri drabbanan. So that would be a big kula. The question is, before we talk about whether we hold this way, why should that be true? Why should we say that psik resha b'issur d'rabbanan is mutter? If it is, I'm not saying it is yet. But how could there even be a suggestion? Yisurei d'rabbanan, yisurei d'araisa. They're both also to do on Shabbos. If psik resha means it's as if I had kavana, or the actions are connected, and therefore I'm chayiv, what difference should it make if it's asur d'araisa or asur d'rabbanan? What difference should it make? So maybe one can suggest the following based on a Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma in Source 43 in Parshas Shoftim. Amazing Meshech Chachma, which you could say, Parsha Shoftim also, Parsha, but it also has to do with a very important sugya. And that's the sugya of Lo Sasur. The Meshech Chachma is discussing a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about the Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Sasur and Parsha Shoftim. Lo Sasur means I'm not allowed to turn away from anything the rabbis say. Right? Yaminu small. Rashi says, Afilo, if you think the right is the left is the right, now we turn away from what the Rabbanan say. Lo Sasur. There is a very famous Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Shrushim, before the Sefer HaMitzvos, the rules and regulations of counting mitzvos, that every time I violate an Isser D'Rabbanan, I am also automatically in violation of the Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Sasur. That's what the Rambam says. Because Lo Sasur means, don't turn away from what the rabbis say. Lo Sasur. So the Rambam writes, if I violate, let's say I write on Shabbos with my left hand. Let's say I eat a chicken cheeseburger. Let's say I do any Yisur D'Rabbanan. Alright, Rahman al-Islam. Yisur D'Rabbanan. I eat Treif D'Rabbanan. So, says the Rambam, you also violated Nisa D'Raisa. Right? That's the Rambam Shita. Clear, he says it both in the Shrashim. He also writes it in Hilchas Mamrim at the end of Mishnah Tov. The Ramban asks a number of questions on the Rambam. The most famous and maybe strongest one being is, we know there's a principle. What do you do b'makom safek by Yisurim? What's the rule? Safek d'araisa l'chumra, safek d'rabana l'kula. We know in every context in halacha, halacha tells you what to do b'makom safek. When you have a shayla and safek in the imaminus, what's the rule? Hamosav echver al araya. The mosav keeps the money. If you have a suffix in Ilchas Tumah V'Tahara, what's the rule? Based on a pasuk in the Parshas Naso, we say, suffix Tumah versus HaYachid is Tameh, suffix Tumah versus HaRabim is Tahar. Right, the Torah always tells us what to do b'makom safek. So to b'yisurim. You have a safek about a daraisa, l'chumra, safek d'rabbana l'kula. Ask the Ramban, that principle doesn't get off the ground according to the Ramban. There is no safek d'rabbana. Every time you do a d'rabbana, you violate the daraisa too. So how can there be a principle? Asks the Ramban on the Rambam. How can there be a principle of suffik d'rabbanan l'kula if you never have a d'rabbanan? According to the Rambam, every time you violate a d'rabbanan, you also violate a d'araisa automatically. So there shouldn't be a principle. It should always be suffik d'araisa. That's the Ramban's kasha. Very strong question. But it's possible that the answer that we give to that question helps us with sikresha based on d'rabbanan. What's the answer? It's a Meshachachma, Rav Meir Simchin, source 43. Says the Meshachachma, Ra'isi Levar B'zeh Tasa Rambam B'shar Shav. I'm here to explain the Rambam, the Al-Kol Dover Mitei V'chachamim over below Sasur. He says that every time, I heard this verse, I heard this verse from Mori Barabi Rav Rosenzweig, and then I found it later in the Meshachachma, so he was mechavin to his words. The Ramban, with his amazing mind, pushed away the Ramban with many, many questions. The Klali Hasagaso, his general, his most powerful problem was, Diimkein, Hayaroi, Lahachmir, Vesvekan. She should be Machmir Vesavik by every Yisad Rabbanan. She has to be Machmir. Because there's no such thing as a Savik Rabbanan. Should be Savik Daraisa automatically. Upit Rabban, he quotes other answers, other questions. Line 8. The Anochi Afar Va'ifer Tachas Raglav says the Meshachach Ma'amin nothing under the feet of the Ramban. Omer, ki l'shiko daiti ha'emes k'divei ha'Rambam. But what could I do? I have to defend my Rebbe. I have to defend the Rambam. Which, by the way, Baruch Hashem, I'm glad I remembered, tonight's the Rambam's yard site. Chof Tevis. That's a Baruch Hashem, we get to defend the Rambam on the Rambam's yard site. Says the Meshachachma. V'ha'ikr huzeh. Line 10. Ki ha'Torah ratzta. The Torah has, is the yisod about life, says the Meshachachma. Ha'Torah ratzta. The Torah wants. Asher milvad in yonim ha'nitzchiyim b'chayamim la'ad. Besides the eternal laws that are written in the Torah and recorded in Torah Shebichsav. Besides the laws that it says in the Torah, Yischadish inyanim siyagim v'azharos l'chumros asher yuzmaniyim. Hashem also wanted there to be laws that were temporary. Wanted there to be laws that did not have binding power for eternity. Hainu shebiyachachavim b'hosif api gedar manifzelahem. He dafka left out. I'm learning Sefer Chinuch with my daughter, and she asked me a few nights ago. He's like, we learned the Sefer Chinuch. I'm like, yeah, but this is Daraisa. We draw a banan, we have this law and this law. So she asked, why didn't Hashem just say everything? Why is this Daraisa and this draw a banan? Just say everything! So it's a hard question. It's a good question. Mm-hmm. To explain, Hashem wants the Rabbanan to be part of the creative process. Hashem wants there to be a certain type of creativity and independence for the Rabbanan. It's an important topic of a separate shir. But says the Meshachachma, this is the Metzius. That, besides the eternal laws, Hashem wants there to be power for the Rabbanan to make up their own laws. V'im yamod bezdin, line 15. V'im yamod bezdin acher, gogum chakbo v'minyin, u'beheskim chal yisroch, yegnarm shi'esh bozeh. If, let's say, a bezdin in the year 50 makes a law, and in the year 150 the later bezdin says, I don't think that law is correct. I think we should change the law, then me'ikar hadin, if the later Beis Din is as great as the earlier Beis Din, the chachmo v'minyan, you know, in power and mind, the harushus v'yadim levatel. They can be mevatel. If they're in the same league of Beis Din, a later Tana could argue on an earlier Tana. A later Amora could argue on an earlier Amora, because the same level of power. Ulamatsa, you see, what do you see from the Dindar Abbanan? It doesn't have eternal power. It doesn't have, the content of a Dindar Abbanan isn't off limits. Oh, it's holy, you can't touch this. We don't have the authority to change anything. We don't grind medicines anymore, but we still can't take medicine on Shabbos in certain cases because we don't have the authority to change the law, even if the reason might not apply anymore. But theoretically, in the times when there was strong Bati Dinim one after another, they had the power. Because the content of a Din Darabanan, says the Meshech Chachma, is not eternal. Let's continue. You'll see where he's going with this. Nitzana 17. But because this is true, that the Dinim Darabanan are not eternal, they're not, the content of a Din Darabanan cannot be compared to the content of a Din D'Oraisa. A Din D'Oraisa is Kadosh Kadashim off limits, it can never change. A Din Darabanan, the content can change. Theoretically, if you have a later Beis Din that wants to change it. But because of this, there's a danger that a Jew in the history might say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to this one. This one, you know what, it'll probably change in 100 years. You can't say that about a Din D'Oraisa. But a Jew might say that in history about a Din D'Rabbanan. Therefore, the Torah says, Lo Sasur. Nin the Torah gather Lo Sasur. Sheim Lo Kain, where it's underlined, Yeah, Torah, Bisura biad kalecha viyasu agudos agudos. Bis part of Kesher Akoli. The Torah will fall apart without this mitzvah. Masha misnagi l'ratzon Hashem. Shia am echal l'shmol l'chachamim. Hashem wants one nation. But, now says the Meshech Chachma, step two. Step one, the difference between Dinim D'Oraisa and Dinim D'Rabbanan. D'Oraisas are eternal. The content is what's important. The D'Rabbanans, they're not eternal. It's not the content. What's the ikar by a mitzvah d'rabbanan? The ikar is, line 23, v'imkin ha-mitzvah dafka l'shmoa ma-sheyomru. The ikar by a din d'rabbanan is on the gavra. The person should listen to the rabbis, not the content, what the rabbi said. Who knows? Do you think Hashem wants there to be an iser, chicken and milk? We have no idea. We have no idea. The Rabbanan said it. We follow it. It makes sense as a gezerah. But at the end of the day, do we know for sure? We don't know for sure. We don't know for sure about any mitzvah of the Rabbanan. But you know what the point of the mitzvah, or the aveira v'sasser is? Listen to what they say. The content of what they say does not have the same status as a mitzvah d'oraisa, or a mitzvah d'oraisa. The point of a Rabbanan is not the content, but it's listening to them. And he gives a mashal. I'll give you a mashal. There's an aveira in the Torah called, we learn it really from Sefer Yehoshua, Morid B'Malchus. Now to rebel against the king. What happens if the king asks me, could you please bring me a cup of milk? I'm thirsty. And I refuse. You know what the halacha is? What's the halacha? I'm chayiv misa. I'm Morid B'Malchus. I'm chayiv misa for not bringing the king a cup of milk? How can I be chayiv misa for that? Set the Meshech Chachma. What, does Hashem, is this a mitzvah that Hashem wants? That Hashem wants the king to be brought a cup of milk? No! But the institution of Malchus requires this halacha. So that the institution of Malchus exists. Hashem built into the institution, you gotta listen. What he says, I don't care about what he says, but that he said it, you gotta listen to it. That's the ikar by Morid B'Malchus. That's the idea, says the Meshech Chachma of Lo Sasur. The ikar is to listen to them. And if I don't listen to them, it doesn't matter what they said. It doesn't matter what they said. If I don't listen to them, I am in violation. Look in the next column for a minute, line 4. V'afim yechavnu emes. Even if they got to the emes that Hashem wants. Kefi mashu ratzon abari be'emes. Hashem wants chicken and milk. Because those for ratzon Hashem yis'al la'asos ha'chok nitzchi, Hashem, though, doesn't want it to be an eternal din. He didn't give it the status of an Issah Daraisa. Bitamim HaKamusim, for Hashem has his reasons. Good. And then he gives the mashal of Morad B'Malchus on the next line, of Matsanu Dugmasu Batorah, Inyan Adomilazeh, Mashiach Mir Torah L'Shmo B'Kol Melech, Yosef Mashiach Mir L'Shmo B'Kol Chachamim, Chayim Misa, we learn that from the first parak in Yoshua, Chosra Yamar Spicha Mos Yumas. But Hashem doesn't want every prat that a Melech says, but that's Malacha, you have to listen to them. Final step. What does it have to do with us? Says the Meshech Chachma, now turning over to the top of the next page. The Rambam says, I'll say it outside first, then we'll see the words of the Meshech Chachma. The Rambam says that every time I violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, it automatically is also an Issa D'Araisa. That's true by a Vaday Isser. Once it's suffic, I'm not sure if it's Asur, so by a D'Araisa, suffic D'Araisa, the Doraisa is Kodesh Kadashim. The Doraisa is what Hashem wants. It's Emes. It has eternal significance. If that's true, then even Makam Safik, I have to be Machmir. Because this might be the Isser, the content of what Hashem said. Safik Doraisa L'Chumra. But the second it's a Safik D'Rabbanan, so we could say that's not in violation of what the rabbi said. Because the only Issur by D'Rabbanan, it's all about not following what the rabbi said, not the content of what they said. It's about not following that they said something. If I'm only in doubt, so we have the ability to say D'Rabbanan only meant the Issurim to exist, but Makam Vada. They only said, you can't do this. If it's a Safek, we never talk about that case. It's not that these molecules of the Avera are problematic. The Rabbanan made up this creation. 100 years from now, maybe the whole Bnei Yisrael will think it's mutter. B'makim Safek, the way Rav Rosenzweig said it, is that B'makim Safek, there's no Maisa merit. When it comes to a D'Oraisa, it doesn't matter why you're violating, even if you don't think you're rebelling against God. If I eat Shreif B'Shogeg, if I violate Shabbos B'Shogeg, I have to bring a carbon. Period. Even if I didn't have any bad intentions. But by Nisa D'Rabbanan, part of the ingredients of violation is the Maisa Mered, the rebellion against the rabbis. But Makam Safek, you don't have that violation. Because it's not called a rebellion if it's only a Safek. Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula. That's what he says on the top of the page. Aval B'Safek Erev, where it's underlined. Im Kain, Kivan She'inyin Azeino B'Prat Ratzon Abore. Because this is not, a Din D'Rabbanan is not a specific that Hashem said. Ratchet Sima L'Shmo Aleihem. Hashem just said you have to listen to them. The Kivan She'alzeh Lo Dibro. Hashem didn't say it about a case of Safek. Im Kain Lo Nikra Mi She'ino Osekein Eino Shomea B'Kolam. Somebody who doesn't listen to them is not called somebody not listening to the rabbis. In this type of case of Safek. U'madua Lo Yei Mutter. It, the Rambam sheet of every Darabana turns into a Daraisa, that's only by Vadais. If you violate a Darabana Bavadai, automatically you violate a Daraisa Bavadai, a Bososter. But if it's a Suffolk, it never gets to first base. You don't violate the Darabana. So Mamewa, the Daraisa doesn't happen. That's what he says to explain the Rambam about Bososter, Baruch Hashem, defend him on his yard site. So we're going to relate this now, pick the question, and we're going to see what this has to do with us. Yeah?
So if you did an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg, would it not be an Issa because...
Excellent question. That's a big sugya, discussion in the Nesivos. If you do an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg, that where does this come up? I'll just mention it, Derech Agav. You can write it down. It's a fascinating. I think it's Reish Mem Gimel in the Nesivos. You can look it up. There is a sheet of the Rambam. Maybe it's Lishitasto even. Go to that now. So the Rambam is in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say I buy something, I buy a piece of meat from you. And I ate it. And it comes out that it was treif. So do you have to, give me back my money? I gave you $10 for the meat. Do you have to give me back my money? I ate the meat, it was treif. Is it a mekach tos? So the Rambam Paskins in the Shulchan Aruch says this also, by Nisr D'Oraisa, you have to give back the money. By Anissa D'Rabbanan, you don't have to give back the money. What's the difference? It was straight. The answer is, by Anissa D'Araisa, these molecules are problematic. This is an eternal Isser, and therefore it's a megathos. You got to give back the money. By the D'Rabbanan says the Nesivos, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything. You don't need kapar, because the definition of Anissa D'Rabbanan is the rebellion against the rabbis. The Rabbanan, that's lo sasur. And if I didn't have kavana, I did it b'shogeg, no kapara is needed. And that's why money doesn't have to be given back. So yes, in Achinami, according to that Nesivus, you would say it's no kapara is needed. So why are we doing this now? Maybe, what are we explaining? We're explaining that there's a possibility that psikresha b'isr d'rabbanan is mutter. Why? Based on the Meshech Chachma. Because maybe isr d'rabbanan require actual kavana in order to be violate. I have kavana to take the knife out of the wall. I have no kavana to make a hole. Maybe we don't say this magical halacha of ki'ilu is coming when it comes to the Isuri Drabbanan. Because Isuri Drabbanan have a requirement of acting against the Rabbanan. Sikresha is quasi-kavana. It's ki'ilu. So maybe that's why there's a suggestion at least that segregation would not apply to Isurei Drabbanan. Of course, kavana plays a role in the is. What are we paskin? We just explained the whole shita. Do we paskin this way? As we're about to, yeah.
Just within that little stuff, sir.
Yeah.
The next question is talking to the answer all the questions on their own, or just one subject.
He used it to answer a bunch of the questions. I didn't give you all the whole Meshech Chachma, but that's the strongest question, really. Have a bittel, right? Bittel. There are different rules. Bittel the Rabbana, bittel the Raisa, Isur the Rabbani, Isur the Raisa. There are a lot of them, but this helps out in a lot of the problems. Meshech Chachma showed it. Look it up. Good. So what are we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah seem to have a machlokas about this. This is how the Mishnah Brura understands the machlokas. Look in Source 44. The Shulchan Aruch says, if there is a knife stuck in a barrel, remember, in Binyan Mikaelim, right, a barrel on Erev Shabbos, mutter lo tiho lach niso, sha'arayinim eskavin lahosef. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter to take it in and out, because you don't have kavana. So mutter, you ought to take it in and out of the barrel. Because you don't have kavana, what about segresha? Segresha, this is the Rabbana. Talking about a barrel here. There's no Binyan Daraisa by barrels. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be allowing Sikresha B'Sid Rabbanan. Ramah, V'dafka Shosiyu Gakin Pamachas Bibodyo. No, only if you took it out before on Friday. Meaning it's a little bit loose. You're putting it in and out already. That's where it's mutter. Because that's a Dover She'enu Miskaving. Ramah says it's only mutter where it might not be making the hole. If you stuck it in, you have never taken it out yet, then for sure you're going to make a bigger hole on the way out. So, asur. So it seems to be a machlokas between the machaber and the ramah. Psikresha be'isur d'rabbanan. Shulchan Aruch seems to say mutter. And the ramah says asur. That's how the Mishnah Berurah explains it. The next source. The das ramah lachlokalav. The dafik shosio pamachas mibodyom. The aidei zen is rachiv tzas. Only if it gets widened a little bit on Friday, the suvav of sikresha, because that's not a sikresha anymore. That's the darshin of miskaving. Avo b'lav hachi asur. But besides it, it's also the sikresha who after pesach she'en asur lachos of ahosi disir rak nerabanan sikresha asur after milsa drabanan. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Ramah is holding here that sikresha is asur even by a drabanan, and he says that's what seems to be what most poskim say. V'hine line 7, lini ikar adin, iskima magen avram, elio rabba, v'hagra, v'gon rib giveger, the sikresha asur af v'milsa drabanan. Right, so we are machmir. We try to be machmir by drabanans. We don't do sikresha even by drabanans. There is the one place where we can be matir. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says in the Sha'ar Tzion, in Source 47, if we have a double Durabanan. A double Durabanan. Trade Durabanans would be mutter with Sikresha. What's a case of trade Durabanan? Does it ever come up? So, Rav Ribiak gives an example. Source 48. Squeezing fruit on Shabbos. So we know now how to squeeze the fruit. That's the malach of Schita. That's the malach, the avalach of Dash. So I'm not allowed to squeeze a fruit. All fruits, though, are not created equal. Grapes and olives, if I squeeze them, that's an issa d'oraisa on Shabbos. If I squeeze a grape or an olive, that's asur mi d'oraisa. Right? Because I am creating wine and oil, that's d'oraisa. If I squeeze what the Gemara calls tutim v'rimonim, strawberries and pomegranates, and generally a lot of other fruit fall into that category, that is an issa d'rabbanan. Why? Rov Rishonim say, because those aren't normally squeezed. on Zaysim Ba'anavim, right? Olives and grapes, those are squeezed, right? That's the only one. You have oil, you have wine, unbelievable. Everything else, you get juice, pomegranate juice and strawberry juice. So those generally aren't squeezed, so it's only us and Midra Banan to squeeze that. There's a big shayla halacha l'maisa. What if Bizman Azeh, we have a fruit that's normally squeezed, that's not a grape or an olive? For example, oranges. Oranges. If you do a study in the world, it could be that there are more oranges in the world that are squeezed today than are not squeezed. Especially, what if you go to an orchard where they dafka grow oranges to squeeze them? Right? The shayla that some folks can discuss, what bracha do you make a Tropicana orange juice? Do you make a shahaka like all juice, or do you say that? Because this is the ultimate stage of what this fruit was grown for, there are some, there's a minority of poskim that say you make a ha'etz on Tropicana oranges, based on a Gemara and Brachas. Both poskim, Mr. Burris says to make a shahako. But either way, so, zeisim ba'anavim daraisa, other fruits are drabon. Good, so I can't squeeze those. What happens if I want to cut up fruits for my child? I cut a fruit for my child. So Riviat says, what do I do? So a lot of times when you, let's say, start breaking the fruit into small pieces, you squeeze juice there. Gets all over your hands. So am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? So if I do it in a way where juice might not squeeze out, let's say I take a knife, and I cut very slowly. So it could be that juice is not going to get squeezed out. So that's a davar shein miskaber. That's mutter. That's for sure mutter. Right? Because maybe juice will not get squeezed out. But what if I do it in a way, juice is going to get squeezed out. I take an orange, and you ever try to cut a wedge of an orange in half? Juice is for sure going to get squeezed out. So you're allowed to do that for a child? Right? You have kavana just to break the orange. I don't have kavana to squeeze it out. That's a psik resha. Says Rabbi Riviat, grapes would be usser, oranges would be mutter, or any of the like. Why? Because if I cut an orange in half, that's a double drabanan. Number one, squeezing them in the first place is drabanan. Number two, I'm squeezing them in an unusual way. We're going to get to Beshem in the coming weeks, the concept of shinui, doing something in an unusual way. This is not the normal way to squeeze oranges, by cutting it in half. That's a double drabanan. So therefore, it would be mutter. Doing that to a grape, he says, would not be allowed, and therefore you'd have to use a different type of heter, like doing it, cutting it on a napkin so it's absorbed immediately. So therefore, it's never has a status of mashke, but that's his nafkamina. Where do you get a double drabanan? Let's read it, then I'll take the question. Last source, chatichas eskoliot, if you cut a grapefruit, v'shar peiros, ein bo iser, afilu imsik resha, shaydeh chatichas abri yischav mashkim l'kara, if you're cutting a grapefruit to serve grapefruits on for the first course, no problem, de'eno elekid imsik resha, v'trei drabanan, d'shari. Double drabanans are mutter when it comes to secretion. There's one drabanan is aser. V'chanami avischita sharpeiros avilu mashkim rakisa drabanan. Oh, squeezing most fruit is an isa drabanan, and doing it b'shino is another drabanan. You can't do two drabanans but with kavana. Meaning, if I want to squeeze out the grape in this way, that's aser mi drabanan. But if I'm just trying to cut the orange in half, so that's a double drabanan secretion, which would be mutter. Adkan, divrei psik resha. Yeah. Questions, yeah.
With the case of the orange, would
be psik resha lo nicholai? That would be a triple drabanan, you say. Well, yeah, you don't want the juice to get squeezed out. It would be a triple drabanan.
So a grape then would also be
a grape then. So you're saying we're going to make a grape into a psik resha. But I don't know if it's lo nicholai, because usually you want the juice to come out of the grape, because that turns into wine or grape juice. How do you define Sigridil and Nichalei? About every specific case? Like here, you don't want it to get squeezed out. Halacha l'maisa, generally, by grapes, we don't do that with our fingers. We usually cut the grapes. And cutting the grapes, I don't think it's a psik resha that does juice always come out of the grape? If you cut the grapes carefully, lav dafka, that it always comes out. So I think it could be called the devar sheni miskaven. So therefore, it could be, if you see, and if you're cutting it very fast, then it could be a problem. Any other questions? No. Good. So let's move on. Sigration is finished. Now let's get to the next topic that we have to discuss, and that is Melacha She'en Etzricha L'Gufa. Melacha She'en Etzricha L'Gufa. Second topic in our discussions of Melachas Bashevs. There are many different definitions of Melacha She'en Etzricha L'Gufa in the Rishonim. We're going to focus on the two most famous ones, and other Rishonim really just amplify and modify these two shitas. First is Tosa Shita. Tosa Shita Malacha Shein Esrin Chal Gufa, translated as a malacha that is not needed for its purpose. What does that mean? Says Tosas in Shabbos, Daf Sada Dalad, Nira Lari, source number one. It's a malacha shein esrin chal gufa kari. What is a malacha that is not needed for its purpose? Kisha osa malacha, when I do a malacha on Shabbos, ve'eino tsarich la'oso tsarich ke'ein shal yitzri chal b'mishkan. I am not doing it for the same purpose that it was done for in the Mishkan. I'm doing the exact same act that was done in the Mishkan. The exact same act. But in my head, I have a different kavana than what was done in the Mishkan. The exact same act, but it's different. Because for whatever need that it was done for in the Mishkan, nasis bishvilo b'mishkan hu guf iser amalacha v'sharsho. That's the real ultimate purpose of this act. Whatever reason I did it for in the Mishkan. If I'm doing it for a different one, that's a lack. And therefore, the halacha might be different. I don't want to say will be different, but it's at least called the malacha shein esrin chal gufa. This, of course, you do not have anywhere else in halacha, this concept. Malacha shein esrin chal gufa. Right? If I eat shrei for a different purpose than what the rabbis, right? You don't have, it's something to talk about. So, this is unique to Hilchos Shabbos. Psik Reisha, we said, was not unique. We have Psik Reisha by Hilchos Nazirus, if you remember, about a Nazir used to combing out his hair. He's not allowed to comb out his hair because he might pull out the hairs. Malacha shein esrin chal gufa is unique to Hilchos Shabbos. Again, Tosis definition, the same exact act, but a different kavana. So, he gives examples. Lefizi asi kulu shafir, hotzas ames, ein sarach lames, subamishkan ein sarach lechafat of Josio. Right, all the examples of malacha shein esrin chal gufa in Shas, Tosis goes through. Taking a mace, a niftar, outside a house. The Mishnah calls that in Shabbos, a malacha shein esrin chal gufa. There's no Erev. So why is that malacha shein esrin chal gufa? Because in the Mishkan, you know why they carry things out? Because they wanted the thing outside. That's why you usually carry something. Because you want it. You carry it from place A to place B, because you want it in place B. Why do you carry a mace outside? Because you don't want it in place A. Right? It's smelling up the house. You want a Kohen to walk into the house. For whatever reason, it's Sur Meirah. It's not Asay Tov. So it says Tosas, that's going to be Malacha Shein Esrin Chal Gufa. It's the same exact act. You're carrying out without an Eruv. No, that's called Malacha Shein Esrin Chal Gufa. Another one, says Tosas. Middle of line 3. Sod Nachash Shelo Yishchenu. If I trap a snake because I don't want it to bite me, trapping is one of the 39 malachas. Sod. Says Tosfos, if I trap it so it doesn't bite me, that is a malacha shein esrin chal gufa. Why? Eino tzarech lenachash. Right? Do I really want the snake? Why are they trapping the Mishkan? They trap because they wanted the animal. Uba Mishkan esrichin latachash. Right? We know the tachash, the type of worm that only existed at the time of the Mishkan, in order to use for the curtains, the colors, and there's another worm, the shamir. Right, that was from Pirkei Avos, and it says they used to put the worm on the rock, and the rock would split. What does it mean? Why they catch animals? Or the hides that they used to catch the animals for? Because they wanted the animal. Here, I want the snake. No. I'm preventing the snake. I'm trapping it so it doesn't bite me. Or next, fourth one, Nafas Mursa, popping a blister, popping a pimple. Lahotzi Lecha, Hamazikoso, if it really hurts. I have a pimple that hurts, I'm going to pop it to get the pus out. So why did they make openings in the Mishkan? Right? Again, different purposes. Why they make a hole in the Mishkan in order to put things out and take things in and out? Here, I just want to get the stuff out. It's hurting me. All these are examples of Malacha Shein Esrin Chal Gufa. And one more. Comes up in a number of places, middle of line 7. Chofer Guma. Ve'eino tzarech el la'afra. I dig a hole. I dig a hole on Shabbos. So that is the malacha of Choresh. Digging a hole. So what if I dig a hole because I want the dirt? I'm not interested in the hole. I want the dirt. So according to Tosfos, malacha shein esrin chal gufa. I'm doing it for a different, the same exact act, but it is a malacha shein esrin chal gufa. That is Tosfos' definition. Then we have Rashi. Rashi's definition. Mr. Burgess, thumbs up. Tosfos, Rashi, on that same Mishnah that Tosfos is talking about, carrying a mace outside the house, Rashi said does not mention the word Mishkan. Rashi says it has nothing to do with the Mishkan. So how do you define a malachah shenisuyuf l'gufa? Says Rashi in source 3, Havi malachah shenisuyuf l'gufa, debertsono lo ba'alo. If it was up to him, he'd rather not be in this situation. He'd rather not have to do what he is doing. That's not called malachas machsheves, that's a malachas shenisuyuf l'gufa. What does Rashi say? You'd rather not be in the situation. What does that mean? The Ramban expands on Rashi. Rabbi Sacks has many articles about this sugya, and the way he says it, the Ramban, is preventative. That's the word. If you're doing a malacha for preventative purposes, not because you want to accomplish something, you'd rather not be there. Like Rashi says, but so about you'd rather not have to do this. This is the situation, so I have to do this to prevent something from occurring. The snake case. Go through all the cases that Tosfos quoted. All the cases, Rashi would tell you, my reason fits it just as well. You don't want the snake to bite you. Yes. You don't want the mace to be matami the house. Or to smell, to make the house smell. It's all preventative. If you're not doing a malacha to really accomplish something, but just to prevent a result, that is a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. You're about to ask me, what about the case of digging the hole? Right? Thank you. Right? What about the case of digging the hole? Right? There's no prevention there. If you look in all those places, in Maseches Beitza, in Maseches Shabbos, if you look in the places where that case comes up, Rashi in all those places calls that mekalkel. Rashi does not call that malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. Rashi reads all those gemaras as paralleling mekalkel to malacha, which we didn't get to. We have no idea what mekalkel means. We'll get to that better next week. But mekalkel is a different principle, which we're going to talk about. He says, whenever the gemara mentions that, it doesn't mean that case is a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. It means it's parallel to a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. But it's not actually a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. That's what the Ramban says in source 4. Pirish, malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. Could go and mozi as a mace. Afil l'kover. You take out a mace even to bury it. She'en lo hanah b'hutzaso. You don't get any specific pleasure by bringing it out a little bit through also. Avol ha-hanah. He, what's the pleasure? He ha-tumah shehu moneh imenu. It's the tumah that you're preventing in the house. V'chein say das nachash. Kedei shelo yishchenu. Nikras malacha she'en etzrich l'gufa. She'en ele menias hezek. You're preventing hezek from occurring. V'ein ha-hanah b'atzorech b'gufa. That's what it means, malacha she'en etzrich l'gufa. For its purpose. You don't really want to do this. You have to do it because you're in the situation. But it's all about preventing. It's all about preventing. That is Rashi and Tosfos. Mention one case, which is going to come up later, but I think we also might have mentioned it also here, and that is, what about biting one's nails on Shabbos? Let's say cutting one's nails on Shabbos. Cutting nails on Shabbos. Is that a daraisa or a rabbana? Or let's say it this way. Is that a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa or not? Cutting nails on Shabbos. What's the malacha that you're doing? Gozes, shearing. Shearing. What would Tosfos say about that? Tosfos calls that a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. Why? Because why did they shear in the Mishkan? Because they wanted the wool. Why do you shear? Because you want the wool. You really want your nails? Right? You got to throw your nails in the toilet. Can't leave them lying around. Right? Got to throw the nails there. You got to wash your hands after you cut your nails. Right? I'm shearing now. Not for the purpose. Says Tosfos, that's called a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. Rashi would say, what are you talking about? Not a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. Are you preventing yourself from looking ugly? Rashi has to say, if Rashi would call that a malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa, he would have to try harder to define it. What are you preventing? But again, you see there are cases that you have to figure out. Rashi and Tosfos might have different understandings of cases in the Gemara. Good. So what do we this is the definition. Malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. What do we hold? So this is a machlokes in a few places in Shas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says chayiv. Doesn't matter. Malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa is chayiv. Daraisa. Yehuda says there is no principle called malacha shenisuyuf l'gufa. that makes it any less different than any tzricha l'gufa. Rabbi Yehuda says chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says patur. Rabbi Shimon says that halacha shenei tzricha l'gufa is in iser d'rabanan. It's a strong iser d'rabanan, but it's an iser d'rabanan. Major machlokes. Who do we paskin like? Okay, Rabbi Shimon says your side again. It's everybody against the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. All other rishonim paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Says the Chai Adam, he sums this up in source number 6. Says the Chai Adam, see, it was Siyata Deshmai that I gave this year Tuesday night this week instead of Monday night. We had so many Rambams to talk about, so the way it had to be. Source number 6. Afilu, turning over. Afilu in Mechavim Losa Malacha. El Shein Sarach Letachlisa, Hainu Malacha Shein Tzvigo Lufa. Le Rambam Chayiv, Uvashlo Eina Makalkel. Rambam says you're Chayiv. As long as it's not disruptive, we'll get to that. But that's Harvey Poskim, the Mutter. Everybody else says, Putter. Sorry, not Mutter, Putter. Issa Drabanan. So again, Major Nafkamina. Right, it's always important to know. Issa Drabanan, Issa Daraisa. Well, there are many Shrachim sometimes that we'd be able to work with Issa Drabanan, but not with Issa Daraisa. Where does this come from? Rav Shimon? Maleches Machsheves. Said the Gemara in Chagiga, Maleches Machsheves Asher Torah, Maleches Machsheves Lof Siba. Maleches Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is not Maleches Machsheves. Remember, thought out, perfect work that they did in the Mishkan. If you have a different Kavana than what they did in the Mishkan, Tosfos, or if you're just doing something to prevent a result from occurring, that is only Asher Midrabanan according to Rov Poskin, according to Rav Shimon. The Mishnah Berurah does point out, in source number 8, that in the world of Issurei Derabanans, this is a stringent one. This is a Chomer Issurei Derabanan. First and foremost, because the Rambam doesn't even hold it. The Rambam says it's also Daraisa. The Rambam says that Malach HaNazir Gufo we Paskin still also Daraisa like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah Berurah says in source 8, even where there are rules in Hilchas Shabbos, that Issurei Derabanan are mutter in this circumstance, it might not apply if the Derabanan is because it's Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. If it's Shinul, if it's Grama, we'll get the other ones. If it's just Derabanan because of the Metzios, like the oranges we said before, then maybe you have certain rules. But just because it's Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, it is Pater. It is also mean Derabanan, but it is a stringent Issurei Derabanan that one should be aware of. There are certain cases that it's mutter, that it goes down from Pater to Mutter. That's what Rabbi mentions in source 9. If there's a danger, not a life-threatening danger, then he can do anything, even Daraisis. But the case, let's say, somebody is allergic to bee stings. So if that's Pikuach Nefesh, then kill the bee. Do whatever you have to do. Let's say somebody's not allergic. Not a good case. That's probably Sakana. It's not allergic to bee stings, but a bee could cause a tremendous pain. So, says Rabbi, in a case where there's potential of tremendous pain, then you're allowed to do a malach shenei tzvicha l'gufa. You're allowed to take that bee out of your sukkah. We said, if it's possible to leave a little opening, fine, no malach at all. We said that last week. But even if you want to totally close it off and take it out, so there is basis to be matir, because it could cause tremendous pain, and it's an iser d'rabanan. According to Retzim, malach shenei tzvicha l'gufa. I'm not trapping it for the bee, I'm trapping it to prevent, I'm trapping it for a different purpose than what was done in the Mishkan. So it could be that would be mutter. I'll leave you with a question. Actually, I'm not going to leave you with a question because I just wanted to say one thought on the Parsha. We're going to get to I'll say it in one line. I'm not going to explain the question now. We'll continue. What's the difference between a malach shenei tzvicha l'gufa and a psik reisha d'lo nichalei? Think about it over the next week. But just one part I had to mention, which is I saw from Rabbi Yeruchim on this week's Parsha. And that is, you know, the beginning of the Parsha, Parah makes it Zera, throwing the boys into the river, and Shifra and Puah save the day. Shifra and Puah save the day. They came in, the midwives, and they did not allow Parah's Zera to come to fruition, and they were able to save the babies. Who were Shifra and Puah? The Rashi quotes, they were really... Who are they? Miriam and Yocheved. Answer of Yeruchim, so why aren't they called Miriam and Yocheved? Why aren't they just called Miriam and Yocheved? So he doesn't say, there is one answer that others say, and that is, in all of Sefer Shmos, Hashem does not want to mention a name until Moshe. That's why Amram and Yocheved are also not mentioned. Rabbi Yel, Chizmi Beis Levi, Vikakas Bas Levi, Moshe. That's it. Moshe. Okay, Yosef and his brothers from before. But the first name in... Okay, Moshe. Fine. But then the Rav Yochanan gives another answer. What are the names Shifra and Puah? So Rashi quotes, Mishaperis is a bad, Poes a bad. These, what they do, they used to like snuggle with the baby, coddle the baby, give the baby a little punch, make it cough. That's so significant. That's what they're called, Shifra and Pua. They made the baby go goo goo gaga. What? Amazing. Shifra and Pua. What's the message of the Torah? Says Yerucham. Yes, they're called Shifra and Pua. You know why? This is his line. Great people can take even little things and make them great. Little people can take even great things and make them little. If you have a great person, everything in my life is great. I can have an Asher Yatzar, and I can make it. It's great. I'm connecting to a Kodesh Baruch Hu with this. I can do the most mundane. I'm going to the store because my mother asked me to go get some milk. But I can connect to my Kodesh Baruch Hu. Keep it up my aim. Little things. Great people can take little things and make them amazing. Little people could take the greatest things. I could take a ne'ilah and I could just throw it on the floor if I don't appreciate it. But a great person could take little things. That's Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Pua, what they do? They just little coddle the baby. They change the baby's diaper. They do these little basic mundane things that every mother does. You know, but know what they did? They took these little acts and saved Klal Yisrael with it. They took these little acts and had their names recorded. That's why they're called Shifra and Pua. You call them by these little acts because that's what life's about. Life's about taking the little things, taking a seder here, taking a, helping out a friend here, taking doing a chesed, making a benching. Every little thing we do can be unbelievable. We have to be great people and take every little thing that we have and make it great. I go ahead.